Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Tina Irwin. Tina is a former Navy commander, and she's here to share how to help veterans cope with things like death and loss in a healthy manner. So welcome to the show, Tina. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. I'm really delighted to be here. I'm very grateful to get this opportunity.
Yeah, you bet. For the listeners who aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'd be happy to. And it's a wonderful thing that you've actually never heard of me because I was a woman in the military in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And most people didn't know what to do with women officers. And so when I was commissioned an officer through Officer Kennedy School, because none of us could go to the military academies, it was a unique opportunity. And then I ended up working for the submarine force for 20 years. And they didn't know what to do with us either. And what I realized is that men are exceptionally reasonable if you can help guide them to a way that you can, that they can best use your talents. But I don't know what your talents are. So you have to help them to learn who you are. And what I found was that working for the submarine force was a privilege. It was an honor. They're some of the brightest guys I have ever known. Some of the best patriots you'd ever want to meet. Taught me amazing things. And they were willing to take a chance on me. I receipted for all the crypto gear for all 68 class new construction submarines at Electric Boat Division in Connecticut. I was the first female instructor in the history of submarine school. And I also taught the sealed authenticator system, which enables a CEO of a submarine to know when to launch a missile. And I loved my job. I just truly enjoyed the men I worked with. And along the way, I met my husband, and we've been together 50 years, which is really, really awesome. And I eventually became a terrorist expert, and I designed equipment that protected submarines from terrorist attack. And I looked at what are called the anti-terrorist alert summaries every day, and it's enough to make your blood run cold, the things that you are dealing with. And I had 86 submarines, 9 submarine tenders, 3 submarine bases, and the senior Jewish admiral in the Navy to protect. And it was a very, very big job.
Sure.
But if you go on any military base today, the things that I created with a very small team, a very dedicated military and civilian professionals, are still in place today. And I can't begin to convey all the different things that I got to do with the submarine force. I worked with SEAL Team SIS-6. We tested the devices that I put in place, and the submarine force still uses to this day all of those devices, and I created a system. And then because I'm kind of gutsy, I classified it myself, and that kind of pissed a whole lot of people off, but, I didn't care. But I knew that it needed to be, and I didn't need somebody else to tell me. So I had a blast, and I had a deep and abiding respect for people who put their lives on the line and who care about other people. And that is the truest nature of the U.S. military.
It is. And I think that's something that we all have in common is, service, serving other people before ourselves and putting, the mission first, country first, all that kind of stuff, putting that first. And that's, it's really an incredible thing when you see this group of people coming together, doing these extraordinary things, and things like what you were just describing, a lot of these things which are still in place and still protecting the force today. I want to get a little bit more into your career and how it's shaping what you're doing now in just a minute, but we're going to cut to a quick commercial break, so stay tuned. Experts say that China is hoarding a massive amount of food. They will soon have over two-thirds of the globe's corn reserves, over half of its rice, and over half of its wheat. But when asked about it, China lies. One China expert says they, of course, will never admit to something like that. Well, what does China know that we don't? When it comes to global food shortages, China is the canary in the coal mine. You see, China is the world's number one food importer. They rely on the rest of the world to keep their people fed. So they can't afford to mess up, or there will be riots, civil panic, or even worse, when over a billion people can't eat. What does this mean for Americans like you and me? Two words, food shortages. That's why it's a smart idea to stock up on a kit of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food kits. They're hand-packed in the USA. The kits are compact and stack easily. They have different delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners. And their five-star reviews on the website rave about their flavor and taste. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase of Four Patriots survival food by typing in the code DRIVEON at checkout. Just go to fourpatriots.com and use the code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase of Four Patriots survival food. That's fourpatriots.com. Use code DRIVEON. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. Today I have Tina Irwin here, and we're talking about, her career in the military, in the Navy, all the things that she was doing with the submarine force. But we're here to talk about how to help veterans dealing with things like death and loss in a healthy way. And so, Tina, your journey from your career in the Navy to what you're doing now, I think is pretty interesting. How did your Navy experiences shape your understanding of things like human behavior, especially in challenging situations, difficult times like, you know, surrounding death and loss and things like
that? The Navy was only about people. It doesn't matter whether it's the Navy or the Army or the Coast Guard or the Marines. It's only about the person in front of you. It's only about what kind of leadership are you offering to enable an individual to give you their best. And when a person is distracted by something going on at home, terrible problem with a spouse, or problems with health problems, if you just ignore them, they are going to magnify. But if you sit down with the member and you really analyze what's happening, you have a really good understanding of that person to the degree that you can do that. And when a military member checked in, I went through every single medical record. And it told me an enormous about the person sitting in front of me. One of the most astounding medical records I ever saw was that we had an engine man who came from a surface ship. And I was the executive officer for submarine training facility in San Diego at Point Loma. And I looked at him, I said, it says that your lung collapsed. But I'm looking through all this documentation, never says your lung was reinflated. And this guy says, no, ma'am, it wasn't. And I said, it says that you did all the PT with a collapsed lung. He said, yes, ma'am, I did. And I said, and the ship you came from wasn't concerned that you had a collapsed lung? Not really, ma'am. And so I met the squadron doctor on the phone, and I said, I don't know who cleared this man for instructor duty, but I want a complete physical. I want his lung reinflated. He says his diaphragm is cold and hard. I want this man to have care. This was absolutely unsatisfactory. And they discovered all these other things that were going on with this man. And no one listened to him. No one did any research, just in the most rudimentary things. And I had another guy check in, and his eyes were crossed. And he was cutting for instructor duty. And I said, I'm not allowing you to go be an instructor. And he said, well, ma'am, they won't repair my eyes because it's cosmetic. And I said, oh, I will get that repaired. In 3 days, I had that man's eyes looking perfect. And he came back and I said, oh, my God, what a handsome man you are. It changed his life. I said, you will be a distraction to your students. And it's causing you to be self-conscious. This is unsatisfactory. The Navy should have fixed this. I will fix it for you now. And that feeling, you're in the XO, you have to get it done. But I'm looking at people suffering. And we're asking them to give us 100% and we're not giving it to them? I'm getting on a soapbox, but I had a lieutenant. He's a really, really good guy. He had twins. He was sent to us because he had a lot of difficulty when the twins were born, and he didn't screen for exhale, and his career was in the toilet, and he was about to give up. And I taught him how to fight for himself. And several years later, I got an invitation to his change of command as a captain of a fast attack submarine. And by sometimes you, I was never going to have my own submarine. Not this lifetime, of course. But that didn't mean that really good men didn't deserve to be out there. So whether it's somebody who's got a child that's really sick, or a wife who the Navy hospital nicked the bowel, and the man was at his wit's end, I vacated his leave, I put him TRD to the hospital, and I just destroyed the XO of the hospital for incompetence, but that's another story. You have to take care of your people was my bottom line.
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of leaders out there that don't necessarily see it that way, and they look at someone as, well, you know, the person with the crossed eyes that you mentioned. It's like, well, this person's functional. It's cosmetic. We don't need to do this. So, you know, just, you know, go do your work and get to it and stop, you know, complaining about it, essentially. Right. And that's not the best attitude to have with your troops, because you want to make sure that they're being taken care of and that they feel like they're being taken care of. And if they're not, for whatever reason, then they're not going to be 100% there, because like you said, if there's something going on with their home life, their kids or their wife or something like that at home, you know, their mind is now on that because that's important to them. And so, you know, you got to be able to help them out along the way with a lot of things that they have going on, right? Not just their job.
Exactly. And if you're using your command master chief, you're using, you're reckoning with the leadership of your, well, we called it the goat locker. You're using riffing of the leadership of your chief petty officers, your junior officers, and your more senior officers. If you don't care about the crew, you can't demand that they do that. And I had a commander who came to me on limited duty because he had a medical problem. He was so abusive that the crew from the submarine he came from, we were actually concerned that they were going to kill him. He was so hated. A huge abuse of power, and I just wouldn't tolerate it. So I did this little thing. I put him in charge of being the advocate for the crew at the Navy hospital, because he didn't really care about the crew on any level. And sometimes you have to order someone to care, and along the way, they have to wake up. This man was genius level. He was always in his head. He didn't know how to have heart. You don't have heart.
Sure.
Where's the leadership without heart? And Sarah, whose wife had gallbladder surgery and then nicked the bowel, I put this commander in charge of dealing with the hospital after I had gotten the attention. And we went to hell and back for this first class petty officer. And then more things came up, and I kept sending him into the fray. And it changed him. You can't be taught compassion, but you can be forced to listen to the suffering of others. And once that happened, yeah, Things began to change. We had two suicides and a third almost suicide. And I made him the casualty assistance call officer, one of them. And I said, I'm sending you with a chaplain, but the chaplain's an idiot. And if the chaplain does these three things, fire him on the spot. That's a direct order. He said, you want me to fire a chaplain? I said, look at this face. Do I look like I'm kidding to you? And he said, no. And I said, I don't know anything about kids. And I said, you're going to learn. Because for the rest of their lives, those little girls are going to remember what you say in this moment. He says, but you're going to be better at it. And I said, I already know how to do it.
Absolutely.
You will never learn. Well, feel the moment But you look into the eyes of those children and you tell them that their dad has died and here's your script and I wrote it out for him and you rehearse it. And sure enough, he had to fire the chaplain, who really was an idiot. And his the wife told me that he did such an outstanding job with the children. When he came back, he was visibly shaken, and I got to him. And he, when he left the command, he became the U.S. defense attaché in Turkey. The entire enlisted staff threw him a going-away party and gave him gifts of gratitude. In his entire career, no one had ever cared about him, and it changed his entire life. And they couldn't believe that they actually had an attachment to this man. And that's the kind of thing you can do if you're in a position of power. You can make a really positive difference. And that is the spiritual path. And that's what I'm doing in these times, is more spiritual things, but it starts with caring about the person in front of you.
It does. And that's the that's the thing I think we all need to take in here, is that we do need to care about those other people. It's not just about, as a leader in a leadership position, it's not just about getting the job done and, just do your work and, shove all that other stuff away. Because the reality is, we are complex creatures. We have lots of things that are going on. We have a lot of things that we are passionate about, that we're worried about, that keep us up at night. And it may or may not be related to the job that we're doing, whether it's in the military or not. And if those things are affecting you in your performance of doing whatever the duties are that the leader is asking you to do, then that leader is not going to be all that effective in getting that job done, because the people that are working for them are not going to be all that effective either. And that goes for a wide variety of things. It could be anything from finances to relationships at home. It could be things like death or loss and other things along those lines that really affect these people. And so having a empathetic leader there who can help you through those tough times and get you the support that you need, whether it's counseling, whether it's a medical issue that you're having, or whatever it is that they need, figure it out, help them get through that, and they're going to be a lot better off for it at the end. So I want to talk a little bit more about this, specifically with regards to traumas and death and things along those lines in just a minute, but we're going to take a quick commercial break here, so stay tuned. The Hero Company is a veteran-owned and operated business, and they're on a mission to make a difference. With every purchase, they help to fund service dogs for veterans with PTSD. From jewelry to apparel, keychains to dog collars, they offer a range of products. By purchasing from The Hero Company, you're intentionally being a hero for our heroes in need. Help them reach their goal of $10 million raised to help out veterans. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/drive-on to shop and join the fight for our veterans. So, Tina, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here. We were talking about kind of your background and how your military service had affected your understanding of human behavior. And, you were talking about leadership and things along those lines. But I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here and talk a little bit about grief and death. And, these things can take different forms. And they can manifest themselves in different ways in people, I guess I should say. And they're difficult to deal with for anybody. But do you have any insights or tips, strategies, particularly for veterans who may have experienced loss of, fellow comrades, maybe during the service, whether it was through combat or other means there, to kind of navigate through it all and kind of heal from the trauma that they've experienced?
I absolutely do. By the way, my youngest son is in the Air Force. He's a senior master sergeant in the Air Force, and he did two tours in Afghanistan. So it's very close to home for me. When you deal with trauma, it's not new. It used to be called soldier's heart. It used to be called shell shock or battle fatigue. And I mean, this can happen to people in the civilian sector. The current term post-traumatic stress disorder was a fancy term for blown out adrenal glands. And my concern about the military approach was usually it's drug therapy. Yeah. They'll do some counseling, but they don't address the volume of problems the individual has with adrenal glands that are completely blown. And what happens is, because the things that I currently do are on a very spiritual level, I talk about something called your auric field, which is your first field. Your auric field is also your immune system. Your adrenal glands keep that force field, your auric field, intact. When you go through massive shock or a bomb goes off or an IED goes off, what happens is you have flooded with adrenaline. Once or twice is a lot, but day after day after day after day of stress, and you keep getting that hit of adrenaline over and over and over. Now you have adrenaline poisoning. I have seldom seen anybody address this. And that means that if you come back and everybody expects you to just reintegrate into normal society, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, while you and I might get, a fraction of a tiny bit of adrenaline. But if your adrenal glands are blown, you get a gallon of adrenaline and you can't control it. However, there was a physician in some small place in Indiana in the 70s and the 80s who discovered something called pyroluria, pyroluria. And I really would like to share this because it could literally mean the difference between life and death for someone. And what happens is when you have that much adrenaline poisoning over time, you can't help the surge that comes through you. But there are over-the-counter supplements that can do a tremendous amount. And if you want to know how much adrenaline you've got in your system, there's something called a cryptopyrals urine test. You can also Google pyroluria. And this is really all about the power of adrenaline. And what happens when this takes place is you now have a massive deficiency in vitamin B6 and zinc. When you want to repair your adrenal glands and your force field and your immune system, there are certain supplements that are immediately helpful because you can cancel somebody from here to eternity and it's not going to make any difference. You have to give them something else physical that's not a drug. And so I'm going to give you a list. Anyone can look this up. I'm not a physician, but I have looked at this and helped. I've helped children. I've helped teenagers with murderous ideation and people who were ready to kill themselves because they had too much adrenaline. And what you need is something called pyroxidine or vitamin B6. Magnesium, manganese, vitamin B6, vitamin C, zinc, and something called memory juice, MOMI. Memory juice is a blood cleanser. Individuals never wash the adrenaline out of their body. Their body becomes toxic with it. And no one ever talks about how do you wash this stuff out? MOMI. A Latin name is Moringa citrifolia. It is a fruit that comes from Southeast Asia and Hawaii. And what this does is the Hawaiians used it for 5,000 years. I use it every single day. It enables you to manage stress. If you combine it with the other vitamins, and I do something called remote viewing. So remote viewing a body that before they started these supplements for several weeks, and then afterwards, the difference in their bodies is jaw-dropping. Well, once you've gotten control of the adrenaline, then you can begin to address how to wrap your brain around the IED breath and, you know, your six of your squad members died and you lived. Why did you live? Because it wasn't your time to die. Well, maybe now you can hear me. But if you all you're feeling is this intense pain of adrenaline, then it's a terrible situation. There's also a procedure where, and this was on 60 Minutes, and this procedure is, and the name escapes me right this minute, but you can look at the procedure that where they inject something in the neck, like lidocaine in your neck, and it stops. It puts a block on the release of the adrenaline, where it would give you time to repair your body without those horrible feelings that so many military members from Iraq and Afghanistan and anything else that's happened to people have experienced. It's a type of block. It'll come to me. And then you can look at those two practical elements, pyroluria and this block that uses lidocaine. What you're able to do is you're not using some constant drug that pushes these men and women to suicide or to kill somebody else or their own families, because they don't even know who they are anymore. We're not compassionate to those veterans in any way, shape, or form. And this certainly was true after the Vietnam War, and I certainly saw a lot of that because I'm considered a Vietnam-era vet myself. So when you're looking at those things, a decent diet, a lot of sleep, because if you have this much adrenaline, you're not sleeping. If you're not sleeping, there's a feeling that madness will set in. Moringa juice washes this adrenaline out of your system, and then the supplements start to shore up your adrenal glands. And then there are all different kinds of cortisol therapies that help you rebalance the adrenal cortex in the brain and the adrenal glands. And I'm hoping that whoever is hearing this will find, it's called a ganglion block. That's what it is. It's called a ganglion block. Again, it was a 60 Minutes piece that was just absolutely outstanding. And I'm hoping if someone hears this, that they'll feel like there is hope for them and that it's not about the drugs that push you to suicide, which is, by the way, if you look at the little insert in the drugs, one of the side effects is suicide, which is supposed to be what you're taking it for, so it won't happen. So I'm sorry, I got on a giant bandbox there.
No, that's okay. I think, especially to that last point, you're spot on there, because I remember myself talking to doctors and they were, you know, talking about the different medications that were available and things like that. And I did some of the research and I was looking at some of them and I said, well, some of these side effects of these medicines are the exact thing that I'm coming to get these to get treated for. Why would I want to take this medicine if it's going to potentially make the problem even worse? So
definitely,
I don't quite understand it. So there had to be something else. And I was like, I just won't do it. I'm not going to take these because it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it's like, if you have a leak in your kitchen, you have a leaky faucet or something like that, and it's spilling water all over the place. Well, you're not going to add more water onto it to solve the problem. Like that just wouldn't make any sense. You need to do something to counteract that, you know, turn the water off, clean the water up and take that stuff out. And so what you're saying sort of makes sense here by, if your body isn't removing that adrenaline from your body, in those large doses that you're dealing with, especially day after day and in a combat situation, then yeah, maybe you got to do something to clean that stuff up and get that stuff out of your body so that you can sleep. You can, kind of let your body heal and get back to a normal functioning, right?
Exactly. If you don't have enough magnesium, you're not going to be able to sleep at all. And what's happened is when you have too much adrenaline, it's called adrenaline poisoning. And then there's a side issue called adrenaline addiction, yes, which is people are do extreme sports are addicted to a type of adrenaline. But you also see this, you also see the adrenaline issue with police officers. You see it with emergency room personnel. I see it with children who are abused. And I've had similar experiences with children who were so violent, their families were terrified of them. By repairing the adrenal glands and the adrenal cortex, and Dr. Richard Amon is another one of those individuals who can certainly help with that. It helps you understand what's going on in your brain. Look at the physicality of what happened to a human being. When you've experienced a shock, maybe your body was tossed through the air, you're badly bruised, but you're emotionally bruised too. And all of the organs in the body, especially your glands, are now completely out of balance. And a soul that is out of balance is desperately seeking to find that. And so we're approaching those men and women without any compassion whatsoever. So I'm standing on my soapbox here, you know, kind of whistling in the dark saying, pay attention, please, let's turn a light on for these people. And you need, I'm going to say it again, you desperately need vitamin B6, also called P5P or pyroxidine, magnesium, manganese, vitamin B6, especially zinc, of course, vitamin D, noni juice, N-O-N-I, noni juice. There's the blood cleanser for all this. And it's these things really assist someone. Please don't just take my word for it. Do your own due diligence. Do your own research. I can go on and on about additional essential oils, but most manly men are not going to do that. Women might, but men are not going to do that. And I see some of these guys going to South America to take some of these additional drugs, like ayahuasca, when something as simple as off-the-shelf supplements can begin to shore up those adrenal glands that you can do yourself. Not only not supposed to self-diagnose, but for God's sake, if you're taking a drug that helps you want to commit suicide, how is that helping anyone?
Right. And I think with all of that, you know, like you said, do your research. Don't necessarily take your word for all of this, but all of these things, again, are over-the-counter type things. Talk to your doctor about it. Will this help? You know, how does this work? Maybe get the right dosing and all that kind of stuff. I want to get a little bit more into this in just a minute, but we're going to cut to a quick commercial break to pay the bills, so stay tuned.
Hurricane season is almost here, and the time to prepare is right now. When Hurricane Ida hit the Gulf Coast, it destroyed countless homes and left many without access to food and clean water. Millions lost power, and some for weeks. The floods that followed the hurricane washed out roads and made it impossible for grocery stores to restock their shelves. Families were left hungry and desperate, waiting for help that was slow to arrive. But what if you didn't have to rely on FEMA to provide for your family during a crisis? The answer is simple. Be prepared with emergency food kits from 4 Patriots. Their long-lasting and delicious food options are specifically designed to provide you and your loved ones with the sustenance you need when you need it most. 4 Patriots survival food kits are hand-packed in the USA. They last up to 25 years. They come packed inside covert storage totes. They include a wide variety of delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and are backed by thousands of 5-star customer reviews. 4 Patriots survival food is not just for natural disasters, because in today's world of uncertain supply chains and unpredictable emergencies, it's more important than ever to have a backup plan. Whether it's a temporary power outage, a winter blizzard, or rising food costs, you can rest easy knowing that you have a reliable source of food to see you through. And right now, you can go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase on anything in the store, including their emergency food supply kits designed to last up to 25 years. Just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your purchase of 4Patriots survival food. That's 4patriots.com, use code DRIVEON.
So, Tina, you know, it's a lot of great information that you are giving us as far as the over-the-counter supplement that we could be taking that might help us dealing with this adrenaline and other toxins that are in our body that need to kind of get purged and then kind of help the the rest of our body heal. And so that way we can get to a place where we can start to kind of wrap our heads around some of the things, the traumas that we may have experienced. But on the topic of traumas, we're talking about PTSD and potentially, you know, suicide that might lead from that. You know, PTSD is complex. You know, it's a challenge that a lot of veterans face. Now, how can understanding some of the maybe the spiritual side of trauma contribute to the overall healing process? Maybe after we've already kind of purged all the stuff and kind of started healing our body, how do we get to that the more the understanding side of maybe the death, the grief of some traumatic event that may have taken place?
One of the biggest ways is to reestablish a personal, private connection to God. And a lot of New Agers refuse to use the word God. But there's no real healing without that connection. And when you have such a connection, and you find yourself with the ability to pray again, because sometimes when you've been through so much trauma, you feel that God has abandoned you. There is a profound loneliness inside the soul, a loneliness that goes to the core of their being. And people are in their orbit, but they can't really hear that individual. They can't feel what's going on in their soul. They're just trying to get through their own day. They don't know how to help the person in front of them. And it's not about going to church. If it were that easy, then, you know, chaplains would be miracle workers. But it isn't that easy. You're coming to terms with living and dying. You don't understand why those people died and you lived. And this was certainly true after World War I and World War II and Vietnam, and I can go on and on and on. Some days, it's not your time. It's not your time to die. It's your time to live a full life all the way. And in that way, you will honor those who did die. They'll come back. You'll see them again. Death is not an end. There is a fear of death. I spend a lot of time with dead people, so I've had a curious understanding of it. I've crossed over many thousands of soldiers who just were so grateful to be embraced by the light. And if your soldier feels guilty because he or she survived, might I offer them that if you visualize the people who died embraced by the light, when I have prayers, and I wrote this book called The Crossing of a Prayer Book, 88 prayers to help the living and the dead, including those who died in combat and for wars. If you can understand that every one of us is so deeply and profoundly loved, whether you think you believe in God or not, when you die and you ask for help, or maybe your loved one sends help to you after you have left your body, it's a very mechanical process. God is exceedingly logical and is, after all, the first scientist. It's energy is neither created nor destroyed. Let's be honest about this. This is pure science. So the energy that animates a mortal body has to go somewhere. And it leaves the body. And a Russian scientist created something called Kerylian photography. And you can see a soul leave the body. The essence that is you continues. That's where things come from. And they've been talked about for, you know, 100 million years. The plan to know is that if you assist those brothers who died, because a lot of times PTSD is exacerbated by the ghosts of the souls who died who are with the living person, you can cross them over, and that's the point of the crossing over prayer. What you will end up with is freedom, a type of freedom you haven't known. And they don't know what to do after death. Nobody told them what to do when death came. And then think about it. If you die tomorrow, do you know what the procedure is? There's no tech manual on this. There's no military personnel manual that tells you what you're supposed to do at death. But I can assure you that if you ask for angels or you ask for help, or you simply ask an angel to take all of your buddies, or you actually discover the crossing over prayer, because on TinaIrwin.com and on GhostHelpers.com, I have two websites. Those prayers are free on that website, including for people who were murdered or people who committed suicide. And what happens is your fear will shift when you say that prayer over and over for those souls. And it's a very specific prayer, and it has very specific direction in it. And when you do that, what happens is that soul feels this light. They feel this warmth that embraces their soul. And they are lifted up into the most wonderful, warm, and loving welcome a human being could ever possibly have. And if you can do that, you can make literally a world of difference. You'll see that soul again, and something inside of you will have connected to the divine. Because when you pray, you are connecting to God in the most humble, simple way. You don't need a building of wood and stone. You don't need an intermediary. You need the priesthood of all believers. That warmth inside your heart, the compassion you wish you'd had, give to them. The love you wish you'd experience, give to them. And you will open your heart to something so magical and so wonderful and so uplifting. It will change you. Not because I said so. I'm just somebody's messenger. But because that's how it works, and it's worked that way for a very long time.
And I think when we're talking about this, you know, healing and, you know, coping with this struggle that we might be going through, you know, it certainly is challenging. I think for everyone, it could be, you know, more or less challenging depending on the individual, but certainly can be understandable that it's challenging. For people who might just feel overwhelmed by the experiences that they've gone through, and they're searching for that path to heal and recover and move on with their life, what's the best kind of first steps to take to get there?
Recognize that you're not alone, that there's a lot of people out there feeling what you're feeling. Start writing it down. I mean, I do this, I take private clients, but I mean, I can't take in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. So whether or not it's me or someone else who is not part of the military medical establishment, I'm sure there's some really good people out there, but they haven't done a great job with veterans, to be blunt. When you're able to write it down and recognize that you can heal, if you were to get this, it's called the stellate ganglion block, would enable you to be more clear-headed and then come to terms with what happened to you. Write it down. Write how you felt. Feelings enable you to be a human being. We're not AI. We're not robots. We're human beings. We feel. Or when a man feels that he suffered a tremendous grief, men don't talk about it. Women only want to talk about it. It's like you can't shut them up. But men are tough guys. The men that I know and I'm married to, they're tough guys. And right, trying to get them to talk about it is like trying to get blood out of a rock. But they have two sons. When a guy decides to open up, and let's say you're his spouse, you have to be ready to listen. And if you don't feel qualified, when a student is ready under spiritual law, a teacher is required to be placed in front of that person and required to listen and to find a way to help them understand that their experience in the trauma, in the tragedy, was to live. The experience of the others was to die. Maybe in another time, in World War II, maybe they died and the others lived. We don't know. I don't know what someone's past life is, and I would never tell somebody what their past life was. But I do find that people who have been in certain fields, they kind of come back and do it again and again. Doctors are doctors, life after life after life. This time, they're going to save that patient. When you are talking about it, and somebody says, well, no, I'm looking at my watch, that's the wrong person. you might have to go through 5 or 6 people before you find the right person who can hear you. But you feel comfortable, you can let your guard down with that individual. And what makes matters even more complicated is what happened to you as a child. Did your father take his own life? Was your father abusive? Was your father a person who could never be pleased or never good enough? Was your father a really wonderful person, but he died? And that was the person you would have gone to if he was wise. What happened to you in childhood may make a big difference with how you heal with this particular trauma. But for most of us, it's not just one trauma. You may have had this terrible thing happen in Iraq or Afghanistan, and then you come home and you're in an accident, or your child dies, or your wife dies, or your dog dies. In Vietnam, all those veterans had to leave those working dogs. To this day, if you mention those dogs, those men break down and cry. When you're allowed to cry, when you're allowed to grieve it, like this country never grieved Vietnam. That's why Forrest Gump was so important, that film, because we never grieved that war. We never grieved or helped those veterans. Hopefully we're making the same mistake with the current veterans. My point is that there's no one easy answer. If you can get a grip on your physical health, perhaps the stellate ganglion block will work. And I do know that the VA will do that. And if not, find a private physician who will and get that done and help yourself.
Sure.
Then.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great advice to do that, to get that under control and open up and talk about it. I know as a guy myself, it's not the easiest thing to do. But things get better when you do talk about it. And I think that's the biggest thing right there is just to, suck up your pride, suck up your ego and just do it. Just get there and talk to somebody. I want to take another minute here for a quick commercial break. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. There are multiple ways veterans can maximize their tax benefits. Military retirement pay is taxable as federal income tax and isn't considered earned income for Social Security purposes. Sometimes money from VA isn't taxed, including interest from VA life insurance policies. Go to news.va.gov and search for tax benefits.
Well, Tina, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, chatting about different ways that we can kind of cope and overcome some of the traumas from our past. Where can people go to get in touch with you, maybe get a copy of one of your books that you mentioned earlier, and find out more about what you do?
Thank you, Scott. I am thrilled to have been here. This was a great opportunity, and I can't thank you enough. People want to learn a little bit more about what I do. Tina at tinaerwin.com, Erwin. Also, contact at ghosthelpers.com. Both those websites, tinaerwin.com and ghosthelpers.com, have crossing over prayers and a list of all 8 books that I've written, including The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief, the Crossing Over Prayer book, an awful lot of different kinds of books that help you understand the life that you're living. And if someone actually wants to work with me on a private level, I do that too.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And I'll have links to all of those in the show notes for the listeners who want to check it out and want to get in touch with you or get a copy of one of your books. So they can check all of that out there. At this point in the show, I like to try to add some humor. Sometimes the episodes, the topics that we talk about are, maybe a little heavy, and want to lighten things up just a little bit, lighten the mood before wrapping up the episode. So typically, either do this through telling a joke, watching funny videos of people doing stupid things. And some of the jokes that I've done are pretty corny, but, whatever. If it gets someone to laugh, I'm willing to make a fool out of myself. So, all right. So ready for the joke. So there's a guy went on vacation and he asked his buddy to watch over his house where his cat and his old grandmother live. And he called home every day to see how things were going. And a few days into the trip, he calls home and he asks, "So how's my cat?" And his friend hesitated for a second and and sadly told him that his cat had died. And the guy goes, what? You shouldn't have broken the news to me like that. You should have done it to me slowly. First time I called, you should have told me the cat was on the roof. And the second time I called, you should have said that there's no way to get her down off the roof. And the third time I called, you should have told me that you tried to get her off the roof, but she fell down and she died. And his friend apologized, said he was sorry, and went about his day. And then a couple days later, the guy called back again. So, by the way, how's my grandmother doing? Then there's a long silence on the other end, and his friend said, well, she's on the roof.
Love it.
So, anyways, again, Tina, thank you for joining us. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate all that you do with this podcast.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.